to the last faculty session of the day. We are so excited to have Elisa Lopez and Monica Valle with us. Elisa's passion for the natural world started at a young age. She graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Zoology and began nourishing her connection to the outdoors and helping others build their connection in 2018. Monica has enjoyed the outdoors since a young age and has felt the outdoors is a place where she can find peace and feel whole. Through their work with Team Naturaleza, they have been creating spaces where Hispanic and Latinx community can gather, learn about the environment bilingually, and gain a sense of belonging to the outdoors. Today's session will be learning about Team Naturaleza and creating access to the outdoors. Please welcome Elisa and Monica.
All right, thank you everyone. Welcome. I know our schedule said 3:30 to 5. We will actually be going from 3:30 to 4:30. I won't be up here for an hour and a half. That's a lot. But, yes, so we are Team Naturaleza. Here's a couple of ways that you can connect with us, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that later on. But before we start, I want to introduce ourselves. We are kind of a unique organization for North Central Washington. You might have organizations similar to these at home. I know over on the west side, Latino Outdoors is kind of the organization that's doing similar work that we're doing in North Central Washington, so you might have heard of them. But I am from Wenatchee. I've always looked up to the mountains and wondered what was up there. I didn't do my first hike or go into a national forest until maybe I was like 19 or 20 years old. That was the first time I ever went on a real hike. And the first time I ever swam in the ocean was when I went to, I studied abroad in Panama. My first flight, first time in the ocean, first time traveling. So I really just threw myself in there. It's not a career that I ever thought I could do, but I went for it and I got a job. I know my mom was always like, you know, why don't you become a doctor? Or, you know, something like that we knew I could get a job in, but this was kind of like my passion. And so this moment right here, this is my first time fishing. And I was doing a, what do they call it, the homestays when you study abroad. And so the father of the family took me out fishing, and it was just a hook. It looked like a safety pin and just wire. So that was their style of fishing. Just me meeting the jungle for the first time. And this is when I knew I really wanted to be outside. I didn't care what I was doing outside, but I wanted to connect with Earth for the rest of my life. And then this was my sense of urgency. I was going to Panama and just seeing this was their sidewalks. It was just trash. There was no waste system in the area that I was staying in, and so this this kind of solidified it for me, that this is where I want to be.
So, I am Monica, and my experiences started when I was very young with the outdoors. My family is very active, whereas my mom has taught me to go out and explore, and so we go hiking a lot. And my first memories is when we would go out to go camping, and this was through family camping reunions. And I am from Santa Barbara, California, so I got the ocean and I got the mountains, which is where I really have felt home because I have nature surrounding me completely. And I recently moved to Wenatchee a year ago. And I met Elisa through my mom that has been part of Team Naturaleza as one of the hikers that joins with family. And Elisa was looking for a community liaison, so she was just by herself for a little while through like the pandemic. And so I said, well, I work with kids, I like nature, I love nature, and I'd love to do it. Now that I mention it to people that I take people out on hikes on the weekend, and that's part of my job. People are pretty surprised, like, what, you get paid for that? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's my for fun job. I get to explore and help people explore as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so here we are, both Monica and I. This is in Leavenworth earlier this year in 2021. That's why we were wearing masks. All right. This is Monica and I. Before we begin, we want to do a quick reflection where you will be, if you are willing to, sharing with people a few memories that will be guided in just a moment. This reflection is to kind of get you thinking about the audience that we serve and, just kind of getting you in their shoes. You will be thinking back to your earliest memories outdoors and sharing those if you are willing. You will be thinking back to learning our public land systems back way then, or maybe recently, maybe last year when you were learning public land systems. Think back to your barriers to the outdoors, if you had any barriers to the outdoors. And also think back to your access privileges to the outdoors. And to be fair, Monica and I will go first, and then if you would like to share with the person next to you. So just really quickly, one of my earliest memories outdoors is the Salmon Festival, which is, this is me with the salmon cut out. And this happens in Leavenworth, at the Leavenworth Fish Hatchery. Thinking back to learning our public land systems, I remember I worked at the Wenatchee River Institute in Leavenworth for a while, and I remember exploring the back roads, and I would always want to pull over and see something, but I would just read the brown signs that said, 8 mile CG, something CG, and I didn't know what CG meant until maybe about 3 years ago, and that means campgrounds. So that, all those times, those were places that I could go to and just pull over and enjoy nature, but this is me learning the public land systems, and those abbreviations are a barrier to the outdoors. So that kind of transitions over to my barriers to the outdoors. One of them was not knowing the lingo, and the other one was not having anyone to go outside with, because you're not supposed to go outside by yourself, especially if you're barely learning. And my access privileges to the outdoors was knowing how to speak English and also my education.
So my earliest memory, this is me as a 2-year-old and my hands fisted because I would go into pots and grab dirt and put it in my mouth. So that's my earliest memory from me through pictures and again going camping with my family is my earliest memory of my accessibility to the outdoors. And the public land system, the way I'm still learning, and I just started learning about the public land system, putting into perspective, I've gone camping and I've known that, but that's because my parents would take me. Mm-hmm. So now on my own, I'm learning the accessibilities that we have, and the barriers for me would be the cost of being able to have access to some of these places. And the privileges that I had was through education to be able to learn. I didn't start my first hike until I was learning through biology and go out with my class onto hikes that were near us in Santa Barbara.
So if you would like to share these 4 points with anyone next to you, we can go ahead for the next couple of minutes. So it'll be fun to hear everyone's stories.
Jen, enjoy them.
Yeah.
Thinks about the people that we are serving. We think about maybe what their earliest memories are, what their interests and natures are, what their barriers are, what their some privileges that we can tap into to help them access the outdoors. Does anyone have anything unique, any unique barriers, any unique access privileges to the outdoors that they would like to share? Yeah, I'll start with you.
One of the privileges that I got that I think a lot of women didn't have growing up in the Midwest, being very white in a very white suburb, mm-hmm. was a father who was passionate about camping mm-hmm. and took three girls out camping by himself in parks. I mean, I can remember other people mm-hmm. being in the parks, but he would be the only male with by himself mm-hmm. with the family.
Yeah,
I think that was actually a privilege that it's still very rare. I very rarely see men with just them mm-hmm. and their children.
Yeah, mm-hmm. taking young females into the woods the first time. I've done that before for camps, and I think one of the most unique things is teaching them how to go nature potty. Okay. That is a whole day's worth of information. Yeah, so, props to your father. Jason, you had something?
I thought this was an odd access issue. Like, I grew up in Florida where it was extremely hot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in extreme southern Florida where it could be like 100 degrees and 100% humidity. So there was a big chunk of the year that I loved being outside, but it was just hot and humid and you couldn't be outside. Mm-hmm. And I think of that now with as, you know, oceans are warming, with, you know, smoke everywhere because of fires that, you know, that is probably becoming more true of more places than just extreme southern Florida. It's probably mm-hmm. a place that used to be temperate.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting thing about. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think for some sport, I'm not a hunter, but my husband does, and you know my family does deer hunting, mm-hmm. and I would say land ownership is kind of an access privilege. It's mm-hmm. it's difficult. I mean, there are some public lands, but that's not really necessarily the most desirable place to hunt. Mm-hmm. So if you don't own land or have a family member or friend that owns land, that's kind of an access mm-hmm. barrier, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a whole different connection to the outdoors, mm-hmm. getting your own food. All right. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Any other experiences that you guys would like to share or questions?
Yes, go for it.
I never really realized it as a kid, but I grew up in Central Iowa on a farm, and I mean, I can remember as early as five, I was just telling my mom in the morning I'm going to go out and be in the timber, and I'll, you know, pack lunch and be out all day. Mm-hmm. And then getting into like 10 and older, having a four wheeler and being on a four wheel, and so literally being able to go out your back door and having a couple hundred acres mm-hmm. at your fingertips. I don't know, that's a pretty big privilege. I'm now soaking in, but that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's access to land. All right.
Well, yeah. I think just to add to that, like access to education and how much your family systems, like what they choose to educate you about or expose mm-hmm. you to at a young age.
Yes.
I also would, like, I feel like I spent more time before I started elementary school outside than I did inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just how my family functioned.
Yeah.
Similarly, like, my dad is a forester, and so teaching tree identification was honestly right in line with, like, the ABCs.
Yeah.
And that was just, like, and then I realized, like, that's not every family's, you know. And so I think just I'm really grateful now the way that I have been exposed to
mm-hmm.
the outdoors, but also seeing that as, you know, a privilege that started at such a, mm-hmm. such a young age.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be talking about that a little in a couple of slides about our informal science education.
Yeah,
there's
and thinking
lot to play with.
That
yeah.
my family, like, had time,
mm-hmm.
my parents had time outside of their jobs to spend with me, like, educating
yeah.
and exposing.
That's one of the biggest ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar to our family is also that we are take part of that exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome reflection. Okay. So, Team Altavaresa, we are under the umbrella of Environment for the Americas, if anyone's heard of it. It's a nonprofit. It's a pretty national nonprofit. They host the World Migratory Bird Day, so they are the nonprofit that connects and makes sure that all bird species that migrate through North America and South America have access and have that corridor. So that's that. This organization. And so we're kind of under that organization. And this that organization, Environment for the Americas, they came to Washington and they noticed that there were not a lot of Latino families out on the trails, especially where we live in Wenatchee, where at the time I think it was 35% of the population was Hispanic, but very few, you know, one a day, couple a weekend, people would use the public land trails out there. And so they did a survey, I think this was in 2011, did a survey, surveyed families at the trailheads, and also surveyed families that weren't at the trailheads, right? Those are the families who want to know, why aren't you going outdoors? And they found that these are the four main things that Team Naturaleza kind of is trying to attack, which is that they wanted a trusted community liaison, somebody who looked like them, somebody that could lead them outdoors, and we'll elaborate on that a little bit. They needed family-friendly activities outside of work and school hours, because there are maybe six or seven other organizations that do environmental education in the Wenatchee area in North Central Washington, but it's all Monday through Friday, 8 through 5. And so the working families that we are working with, they needed something evenings or more on the Saturdays and Sundays. So that is what one of the needs is. The removal of the barriers of time, cost, and transportation. Time has a lot to do with short day activities, not full long day thing. A lot of programs are like long backpacking trips and stuff like that, so short ones. Cost, everything from Team Naturaleza, since it's been created, nobody has ever had to pay anything. So everything's been free, and that's just because of grants and donations, and transportation to the trailheads. The final one was bilingual outreach, which ties a lot into the community liaison.
So as a community liaison, it is that interaction of having someone that looks like the people that we want to join our hikes. So that is having that relatability, that being able to have that same language, that there wouldn't be any language barriers. So a lot of English and Spanish, so being bilingual has really benefited us in our program. And being local and kind of showing up. So what has also helped is when we are a part of the after school programs and show up there so that we can teach children and they see us and they probably nudge their parents to take them on a hike with us on the weekend. So being a part of the community and having that connection is something that the community is on and has helped to mature us a lot.
Yes. And we've had a lot of nonprofits ask Team Naturaleza, you know, you're doing such a great job at accessing this community that also has other needs, and, you know, how do you do it? And I said, get a community liaison. Get somebody who speaks their language, somebody who looks like them, somebody who can ask them, oh, what'd you have for lunch? And they'll know exactly what they had for lunch because it's, you know, same culture, same food, same music. Mm-hmm. This has been the key thing that has really set us apart and allowed us to have a little bit of success. And so our goals, when we have these weekend events, we have families outside with us, we have anywhere from, we've had a two-week-old baby on our hikes, the mom was carrying a two-week-old child, to people in the 70s and 80s. We want people to go on the hike with us, but be able to return to the site independently without us. I always say that Team Otrolesa is like those dating apps that are meant to be deleted. You know, eventually we don't want Team Otrolesa to have to exist. We want a couple generations down the line that this is just part of the culture in North Central Washington. So we want them to return to the sites independently and safely. So we always make sure that people know this trail is closed during the winter, or this is where the bathroom is, this is where the parking is. You need the Northwest Forest Pass or the Discover Pass. All of that is super tricky. So we make sure people all have all of that information before we start. Another one is to just connect people with nature, like doing silly things like hugging a tree, just various fun activities, which some of them will be happening later on this week, which is like nature journaling, birding, and watercoloring. Healthier lifestyles is a byproduct for getting people outdoors. Another one of our goals that we don't, that I'm going to start tapping into a little bit more is like really just tracking how many miles Team Otrolesa hikes throughout the year. That's something I want to start doing in 2022. But this is a healthy lifestyle, getting outdoors. And I think that's, I want to learn about more of the connection between hiking, the lack of hiking in Latino families, and the rates of high blood pressure and all of those health diseases as well. Hopefully I can learn a little bit more about that. And of course, leave no trace, because one of the things I hear, one of the most negative, horrible things I hear is that Latino people go outdoors and they destroy Earth. And they leave trash behind and they ruin our plants. And that might happen. I don't think it's only Latino people when they go outdoors, but it's just a lack of education and not knowing how to leave no trace, which is leaving all the beautiful things that you see behind so that others can enjoy them as well, and leaving only footprints. So we really focus on that as well. Do you have any other goals?
Anything?
To
have fun.
Yes. Yeah, we do a lot of fun, a lot of mistakes, lots of learning. Yeah. Okay. I just want to recap a couple of our events so you can see kind of what we get other people into. Here on the left, we had Intro to Rock Climbing, and this was for youth only. Kids got to start indoors learning how to rock climb, and then we had volunteers teaching them. And then a month later, they got to apply the skills that they learned here, outdoor rock climbing. So that was pretty amazing to see. They got to, it was a two-part day. It was a hike near the rock climbing site so they can kind of see how everything was, and then it was rock climbing up. I didn't have any of the pictures of rock climbing outside. We had so much fun, and that was like an event that we haven't done ever again. And I didn't take any pictures. It was too fun. just a couple of hiking days. We do snowshoeing as well. We have 50 pairs of snowshoes so that we don't have to turn anyone away. We can do large group events as well. And for 2020, it was an interesting year. These first two of... No. There it is. Okay. These first two events happened pre-pandemic. This was a birding day, and then this little whiteboard has all of the birds that we saw. I think we saw like over 30 species in just like 2 hours. So everyone had a pair of binoculars. It was a ton of fun. I advertised this event on Facebook, and I was like, oh, people don't like birding, so I won't do a sign-up sheet. I'll just say anyone who wants to come can come. We had like 30 people show up. And I didn't have enough binoculars for everyone, so this is like half of the group that was at to take the picture. So we didn't see too many of the birds that I wanted to see because we were such a large group. But something I learned is that people like to bird. Yeah. And this was snowshoeing with another organization, Cafe, in the Wenatchee area. And we have our pandemic event.
Pandemic. So I joined Team Otrolesa in September, so it's going to be a year now. And we went to our very first sunset hike. So this is when there was a full moon in October. And we also join in on the Make a Difference Day and pick up litter from local parks. Mm-hmm. So this is in Wenatchee as well.
Yeah, this was our East Wenatchee. This is our, it's like a sand dune area in East Wenatchee off the Loop Trail. And this is our party beach. So this was a lot of beer and just clothing, towels, a lot of just icky stuff. We got six large garbage bags off of just like a strip of maybe twice the size of this room. So it's something I maybe want to adopt that place. It's so special. It's the only sand dune in North Central Washington, and it gets trashed. And we also did, this is just a title slide of videos, because during pandemic, we still wanted to teach about our ecosystem. It's not the most, you know, it's not Holden, but it's super interesting. I think the shrub steppe, once you drive maybe back to Seattle or wherever you came from, it's going to look like a desert, but this is the shrub steppe that you, like, you have to get down low, like really high up to really appreciate it, and it's such a resilient ecosystem too, I love. Okay, and the other thing that we do is we don't only do weekend stuff with families, we also go into the schools with the Wenatchee after school program.
So, during the pandemic, it was very interesting, just like our teachers through Zoom, we also did Zoom with our after school programs. And towards the end of the school year, we were able to go on small field trips with just a small group of students. So those two pictures are of us exploring our local hikes just in their backyard.
Mm-hmm. And then this was, I was leading a Zoom after school program. And this was, we were learning about different birds, and then they had to recreate the mask using the colors that the bird had. So this is them showing us their masks. It was pretty cute and adorable. And the reason that we do the after school program is, one, to touch on what you mentioned earlier, is to give these kids an opportunity to learn about science outside of school hours. Because this is the time where they're really gonna connect. This is when they're not being graded. It's when they're maybe outside with their parents too. Just giving them a time to connect with their family that's free as well. So I think this is where it's really gonna stick. We have a couple of, we call them agencies, like Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service, who ask us, you know, why aren't there more Latinos in science careers? And it's, you know, we're working on this right now. Just give these kids another 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And these kids that are working with us right now are going to be going into those fields. It's just, you know, we're doing the work now.
And a lot of our lessons are involving stuff that are locally, so that they're able to connect that as they go back home, as they are venturing out on their own or with their families. Mm-hmm. So they're able to know and put things together.
Yes. Oh, one of the things I've kind of missed throughout this whole thing is that it's all bilingual. So they're not just learning this in English, they're learning it also in Spanish. Because one of the hardest things about my job is trying to teach about the environment in Spanish, because I did all of my education in English. I didn't even know how to say tree bark in Spanish when I first started this job. And so I've had to relearn science Spanish. That's been a pretty big barrier. And so I want, we're teaching everything bilingually so that these students have at least some support if they do want to go into that career.
And then also so that when they go home, they're able to explain and express their experiences mm-hmm. with us to their parents and families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember doing field trips and I wouldn't know how to tell my mom what I did because I didn't know how to say it in Spanish. It was a little hard.
So you grew up speaking Spanish, but not that vocabulary.
Yes, yeah. Grew up speaking Spanish, but I mean, we would do field trips. I remember I went to the Seattle Aquarium, but I didn't know how to explain all of that in Spanish because mm-hmm. I learned it all in English. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2021.
So 2021, we tried to stay active. We did have a little bit of that part of the pandemic where we had to stop our kind of big group hikes on the weekends. So we tried to make it accessible still, had to wear a face mask on hikes, which is kind of lame, you're outdoors, but it was just a safety protocol. And we would have groups from 8 to 12 participants join us on our hikes. And then when we did have to stop during the numbers going up again from the pandemic, we did a week of the trail of the week hike. So we were still trying to make outdoors accessible for people, taking pictures of where they would park, of things that they would need to take, how the environment was in certain areas, and the best hike to do during that week.
Mm-hmm. And then also this year has, well, my mic is not. All right, can you all hear me? Yeah, okay. Also this year has been one of my favorite events. So this is a collaboration with Evergreen Mountain Bike Alliance. Anyone know them? I think they're a whole Washington. No? Well, you should look them up. Evergreen Mountain Bike Alliance, they'll teach you how to mountain bike and they'll let you borrow a bike. Really good classes. And so they reached out to us and they said, you know, again, it's the same story. We're not seeing Latinos outdoors mountain biking. And so I said, all right, well, you know, what can you offer? And they said, well, a class for free and then followed by scholarships if they want to continue to do mountain biking. And so this was our class. There's Monica.
Yeah.
They taught us everything. We went up a couple of trails and we went down, and it was probably one of the funnest times I've had outside. It is not the most, we would talk about cost with the instructors. They're like, oh, but it's free. You can just go to a trail. It's like, yes, it's free, but you have to purchase the $600 bike, to get this started. And so that's really why I haven't taken it up, because it's fun. I can do it. I think it would be such a great workout. But it's that initial cost. And I think at some point I'll make that, but it's not accessible to all families.
Yeah.
But this was really fun, so at least we got to give people a try.
And then we're able to make this accessible with the collaboration of other programs mm-hmm. that reach out to us and be able to have events like this for people, mm-hmm. which a lot of them were their first time going mountain bike hiking.
It was almost everyone except for your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think your brother said he had just messed around with a mountain bike before.
Yeah. 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 So one out of the 12 that were there mm-hmm. knew how to.
All right. I wanted to highlight just a couple of our participants. We have participants that are new, and we have participants that have been coming since before I was even working here. So this is a family that just started coming with us, and they've pretty much been to every single one of our events. Mm-hmm. This is Vanjie and her son, Cade, who you might see him in a couple other pictures. They come to a lot of events. They're actually very, very outdoorsy in quotation marks, because outdoorsy is so many things, but he knows like every tree species, every bird species. He goes birding every weekend with his father, but they still choose to come to events with us because they just feel comfortable. They feel, there's other kids for him to play with. So it's not just for Latinos. It's for anyone really who wants to come along. Here's Monica and her family, who have been coming to Team Naturaleza events since before I even started working there. So that just kind of speaks to, it lets me know that there's quality in the events that we run because people keep coming back. That makes me feel happy. And it's not just for families. It's also for individuals. Here's my mom and some other women who just come on their own. It's a safe space for everyone. And yeah, so we have the little ones out here, and we have a full family can come out. One of the things that we do is we choose trails that are super kid-friendly, because we don't want for parents to have to find a sitter for their kids, or like kids can't come along. It's supposed to be a time for the whole family to make connections outside. All right, so getting more into the background work of Team Naturaleza, really the staff right now is just Monica and I, but we're not the only ones doing the work. We have a steering committee made up of all of these organizations, so U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Wenatchee School District, Bureau of Land Management, all of these, basically, and they have been serving since, Judy has been serving since 2012, so she was part of making the organization, and these are all people who are passionate about getting diversity in the outdoors and removing all of these barriers. So I just wanted to kind of give all of these organizations a shout out.
And then through the pandemic, since we weren't really meeting up so much with our participants and just wondering what it was that called people back into Team Naturaleza to our events and what they would want to do with our program and how we are able to communicate what was best for them. So we did a survey and we asked what times during the week was best to go on hikes and how they wanted that information given to them. So letting them know when we had hikes or information about those hikes, and asking them also, like, what was your first memory and what brings you back into being out in the outdoors and recreating outdoors, and what they were looking forward to and what they wanted to do in the future with Tinodarasa. So as of now, we just do hikes on the weekends mostly, but we also want to invite people to do things that they normally wouldn't do by themselves, like going backpacking or going out camping or something that were brought up.
Yeah. So like Monica said, we got all this information, and really we were already doing this. So this kind of just reinforced what we were already doing, which is the weekend events. We were doing events about twice a month, so it was kind of right in the middle there. Our events are about 3 to 5 hours. They're not full day things. This was kind of an interesting one. It's gear equipment to help you feel prepared and confident in the outdoors. I mean, it was simple stuff that all of us have, but it was stuff that people still needed. Hiking shoes and a backpack. Those were barriers. So the next one, we asked people, what is their favorite outdoor memory? Kind of similar to what we asked you all, which was your earliest memory, but we wanted to get a sense of what people remembered, because really what you remember is what you connect to. So I won't read all of those, but you can read some of them. Just like feeling the weather, walking with friends. They're very simple things that they remember. So really our events don't have to be that complicated, and it's going to be meaningful to them. And what do you want to learn? There was a ton of things. We're kind of crossing this list off a couple of things at a year. There's a ton there. I'll give you a second to read some of these. This is what people want to learn about nature and our environment. A lot of selfless things is how to take care of nature, protect the earth, people and climate change. And we are always learning. So as Team Atrolesa has been around for a long time, we've had many successes, but we've also had a lot of failures. Just this year, we posted an event where we were going to take people hiking on a trail, and somebody sent us this message. It says, hello, one question. When the whole group gets together to go on the walk, each one takes their car or a van to take the whole group. It's kind of a little broken, but you can kind of get it. If you could explain a little how this works, please and thank you. I have a car. I would like to go where we meet, but I hardly like driving to places like that, so I don't want to go. For that problem, I do not like to drive where I don't know and more towards the mountain. And so this person was very confused. They didn't know where we were going, and they thought that their transportation was going to be an issue to not allow them to go. And so, I mean, all I really needed to add to the event description was one sentence for this person to not have all of this confusion and all these barriers happen. And so this was a lesson to me. Like, I have been doing this now for 3 to 4 years, but I need to remember where I started. I need to remember where my audience is and their place on their access to the outdoors. So I need to keep mentioning the basics, because it's what our public needs, or what our audience needs. Okay, so with our successes, we've had a little bit of publications go out. We've been in a couple of news articles, and this is a video that just came out through Crosscut, which is a news organization, yeah. You know Crosscut?
Yeah, KCTS is part of it, our public radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to end this, and I'm going to play our... This actually just came out a couple of weeks ago. Maybe you might have seen this.
Do you guys have any questions so far out of our organization?
Oh, something happened here. No, it was...
What was this?
Oh, it's playing now.
Okay, put it on pause. We'll slide it over to that.
Okay. Oh, it always works during the trial run, but... There's no... I'm going to try taking it out.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. See, I think it's on.
Oh, no, it
don't have the double screens.
Really?
Uh-huh. Okay. Should I try that? That one in?
Sure.
There you go. But really what it's going to stick to you is that when you go on Saturdays and Sundays with your family, you can go check out the bark of a tree, or you see an American robin eating a worm.
I found something!
That's how it's going to stay with you forever.
Oh, there's a lot on that one. How many times have one?
Outdoors as a child growing up around hundreds of trees because that area was a work area and so we didn't see it as a recreation. If we want this land to be conserved and stay recreational, we need to make sure that everyone is educated and not just wealthy white families.
This is public land,
mm-hmm.
And the public land is for everybody to enjoy.
Decided to come to this area because it had a high percentage of Hispanic, Latinx people. For 2 years, the Environment for the Americas and the National Science Foundation did surveys and they found that people weren't really using the trails or going into the national forest or exploring outdoors. And they looked at the science test scores for K through 12 and fifth grade test scores were very low. So definitely the informal environmental education portion was not there. We need to really get down to the root of the problem. Education, access to jobs. Because we don't educate our current Latinx youth right now so that they can, you know, later on get better jobs, so that they can go out on the weekends and learn about nature and then, you know, say, nature's beautiful, I want to take care of it.
Traditionally, a lot of these outdoor recreation areas have been geared towards English-speaking people. When the Forest Service started back in the early 1900s, there was no, let's make this kiosk sign in Spanish and get our Spanish speaking population in the forest. But that was never the intention. Now they're trying to do it. And I give them kudos. Like, thank you for trying to create like more inclusionary programs and events. But there was over 100 years of not necessarily excluding people, but not necessarily including.
General invitations don't work for Latinx communities. It's just that culture where like you don't show up anywhere unless you're invited. And so you really have to get that personal invitation like, hey, Elisa, come hiking with us. Or hey, Elisa, come to this workshop about beavers.
When we see cats like using beavers, it's a clue that tells us that that's a really healthy
river. If you go into any park or a national forest and you see either a park ranger or a wilderness ranger, they're in their full getup. You got your Forest Service badge or your park badge. It can be a little unnerving. The less time you spend in the national lands, whether it be a park or a forest, the less you know, like, oh, this is actually someone that has nothing to do with whether it be ICE or Border Patrol.
I grew up with a lot of the other Latinx youth immigrants from Mexico. Kids and agricultural families. I have a ton of green space, beautiful views. I just didn't know how to appreciate it. I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. I hop on Latino Outdoors or I hop on these Audubon societies, and I see hundreds of people like us, our age, who speak Spanish, who are Latino, and have this environmental background, but they're not in places like Wenatchee. People who get their degree in environmental education who are of a diverse background, they don't stay in their rural towns. People like us just flock to where, like, the big national parks are, where there's big cities nearby too. But we need to stay in these places that we need us most.
The Latinx Hispanic community here has not been targeted to do outdoor recreation sports, even just hiking or learning about nature outside of school. My first language was Spanish, but I never once heard my parents or siblings or cousins, nobody talk about tree bark, or nobody talked about, you know, the little pieces on the branch where the flowers come out, or anything like that.
I love the words, but I'm not sure if this would be a black popcorn or another piece of the popcorn.
We're having to learn science Spanish and then teach it to the community.
Los pinos son coníferos.
Uh-huh.
Los son caducos.
Caducos. So when we're educating, we're telling people that esta es la corteza del árbol, you know, this is the bark of the tree, and the bark of this tree protects this tree from fire. This area is 40% Hispanic Latinx. Hopefully one day we'll see that exact 40% on the trails, you know, buying passes to go into the national forest. So that one day, you know, there's no need for 200 or less of these people out. Like, they're already seeing themselves, they're feeling comfortable going by themselves. So that's our hope, is to one day not have to exist.
This series is made possible by the generous support of the Forest Walk.
I'm not going to go back to presentation mode.
So what can you do? It's very simple things, is to just greet fellow trail users. Maybe try to learn some of the languages in your community. I know in my community we're having a lot of more Indian and Russian families come in, so I might start picking up a little bit just so I can make them feel welcome when I do see them out on the trails. Just a simple hello, how are you, would be great. Use inclusive language, bilingual, non-gendered language. And remove the misconception that Black, Indigenous, and people of color do not recreate outdoors, because they do recreate outdoors, just not in the same capacity. Donate and support inclusive programs, like us on Facebook, just support Team Naturaleza. You can even participate in Team Naturaleza events. I think people who are not people of color can join our events and just bring a different perspective, more insight maybe than I can provide to our audience. And yeah, this was it. If we have a couple of minutes, this is very, aside from Team Naturaleza, it's something else that's kind of brewing here in North Central Washington. There is a female director in Leavenworth who is creating a film called Expedition Reclamation, which is a film about women of color who are reclaiming their connection to the outdoors. It is a reclaiming this connection that was taken away when we were brought in as through our immigrant families or ourselves as immigrants. It was a connection that was cut when we were brought to this land. It is a connection that I think I might have stronger with if I was maybe still in Mexico. So I wanted to show people that. Where is this at? Oh, it's actually... And this film will be coming out end of September, I think.
They ask, what are you? Trying to make sense of our hues. As our chocolate brown fingers braid red and black hair in salute to the spirits of our grandmothers. They ask, why are you here? As we step into the radiance of the woods, the waterfalls, waves, and peace. light and pilgrimage. Over challenge we thrive. Our healing mends roots of the earth beyond their expectations, beyond their line of sight. Onward to our own horizons.
Oh yeah, you can just Google it and you'll find.
Where is it going to be shown online, or
it's going to be in film festivals, and I think there will be an online way to watch it. And these are all the women that you saw are in Washington.
Wow.
So these are all local women in a lot. There's 12 women that are going to, their stories are going to be told. Six are from North Central Washington, and six are from the West Side. So these are women that, you know, live in your neighborhoods too. And yeah, so this is our access to the outdoors for people of color.
I have another question.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
You say your programs are bilingual. Are they mostly in Spanish, or are they in both Spanish and English? In case some of us that aren't completely in Spanish come.
They are equal parts English, Spanish, Spanglish. I say everything in English, and then I say it all again in Spanish.
It also depends on our participants.
Yes.
That will be with Obama. I always encourage people, to doesn't matter if you're a Mexican, Latino, but come and join us, and maybe you can even learn a little bit of Spanish, and pick up how to identify certain things, and learn them in Spanish. Thank you. Any more questions? Thank you so much for being here and listening to us and what Team of Those is about.
Yeah, feel free to find us if you have any further questions or you want to discuss.
Just a quick question. So are you're located here, but are there equivalents in other places?
Well, I mentioned Latino Outdoors. They are a nonprofit. They are in California, Oregon, and Washington. They have chapters. I think they do. I want to say that their events are a little bit more for young adults. So there are a lot of like backpacking and long day hikes. It's not so family geared. I haven't been to one of their events, but I just, from what I've talked to their staff about, I know it's like that. So I think, like Team Naturaleza, I don't know of any yet.
I think going on Facebook and seeing any groups like Team Naturaleza that are part of a community can be an idea of groups that like us that you can join. But we're only Team Naturaleza.
Yes.
We don't have other chapters.
Yeah. I've seen clubs, like Latino hiking clubs, but not full on. I mean, it's the same thing. You're doing the same thing, but as a nonprofit organization, I think we're the only ones. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good question. So you can see us on Facebook and on our website, and
thank you all. Enjoy dinner.
Yeah. And tomorrow, same time, 3:30.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow will be nature journaling. It will just be outside journaling. I will teach you a couple of tips and tricks on how to start nature journaling, and just the most amazing part about what a journal is.
And we'll be meeting
at the